Good morning, church family. I woke up this morning. I wasn't sure that I would have a voice. But I will preach as long as I have one. How's that? And I see there are others probably that decided that they needed to stay home for the same reason. But welcome to all of you that are here this morning. It is a beautiful day. The storm has passed, and it is wonderful here in San Diego. So welcome to God's place. This is where we come to worship and fellowship. Thank you, worship team, for leading us. Music always lifts the soul, doesn't it? No matter how bad you might feel, the music always is the language that warms our hearts and draws us closer to God. I always try to think about ways that I can take something that is in God's Word and bring it into a more modern, maybe contemporary, using examples that we have in our world. And I just wanted to review quickly from last week as we move into something a little bit more in depth. You know, the idea that is being conveyed in the passage that we looked at last week is 2 Corinthians is interesting, because as I was looking at it again, I thought, you know, this is really a lot like, in many ways, drag racing. And somebody's saying, what? What? And those of us that know about racing or about cars or about drag racing, whether it was legal or illegally done, most of the guys that grew up in the 50s and 60s did a lot of illegal drag racing, which, you know, we didn't get in bad trouble for it. We always picked a road out in the country, at least I did, out in the country, you know, that was a bit somewhat, you know, out in the sticks where nobody would be, and then we would paint a line or draw a line with chalk on the road, and then we would get our cars out there and we would rev our engines and we would test each other. And in those days, most of the guys used stick shifts. Very few guys had transmissions that were automatic, that would actually perform well enough to compete with a stick shift. Nowadays, of course, they have Tiptronics and all kinds of fancy stuff that supposedly are not quite as good, but at least they compare fairly well. But in my day, cars only had four speeds. Some of them had three, but most of them were four-speed Muncie transmissions, or, you know, Ford transmissions or whatever. And part of this drag racing experience was that you had to shift through the gears, which I still enjoy. But more recently, I've gone to an automatic. I used to say I would never drive an automatic. Absolutely. If I bought a car with an automatic transmission, then that meant that I was an old man. And, but commuting in the Southern California, traffic has made me an old man, because now I drive a car with an automatic. I got sick and tired of shifting through the gears constantly, you know, 1,000 times between here and, you know, and, where I live. But one of the things about displaying power, and of course we had massive engines in the 70s. We had, you know, the 440s, and then we had the 396s and the 350s and some 283s, 287s, three 327s. I mean, there's a whole list of engines that you could put in your car and hop them up and make them run faster and stronger and more powerful. Was part of that expression of power was the ability to go through the gears fast and burn rubber. And the guy that could burn the longest patch always got a tremendous amount of applause and sometimes even won the race. But burning rubber wasn't necessarily that great, because often you would sit there and burn rubber and go nowhere or go very, you know, slowly. So there was a fine line between how much to burn and how much not to burn, and not to mention that how much it cost you to buy new tires and that kind of thing. So going through the gears was always fun. because you could learn to go through them pretty quick. And I know that Daniel, does yours have a 4-speed in it? That's right. You laid a patch out here. I remember that. Okay. So you know, having that ability to burn rubber was always fun. And I thought, you know, let's just review quickly using that concept of going through the gears. You know, Christ commissioned his disciples to go into all the world. And along with that commission, he also imbued in them and gave them the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was the source of their power. It was the power in their lives. And as they connected to that power, their lives then began to reveal and began to show. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the last part, starting with verse 17, I see some gears shifting here. And I talked a little bit about it last week, and I just want to review quickly. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ... Now, are you in Christ this morning? That's a locative of sphere. That means you're in Christ. You're not in the world. Yeah, you're living in the world, but you're not in the world. You're in Christ. Do you see the difference? There's a difference. If you're in Christ, what does it say? You are then a new creation. Mm-hmm. New. Not old. You're new. You can say that to yourself or to the person next to you. I'm a new creation. Dallas is. Look at his hair. Man, I thought Ivy got a new boyfriend, but then I saw it was Dallas. We are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. In other words, it's finished. It's over with. The new has come. All this is from God. In other words, this is possible because God has made it possible. How did he make it possible? He reconciled. Here it is. I like the word reconciled. He reconciled us, that's you and me, to himself through Christ Jesus. I added the Jesus there. That's okay. Same person, right? But isn't that a beautiful concept? God reconciled himself to us. We didn't reconcile ourselves to him. Don't get that mixed up. He reconciled us to him. And he did that through Christ Jesus. Not through penance, not through indulgences, not through tithe paying, not through going to the right church or listening to the right preacher or singing the right song. He did it through Christ Jesus. The only way to eternal life is through Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ today, you are a new creature. Whether you feel like it or not. Right now I don't feel like a new creature. Yeah, anyway, no comment on that. You and I are new creatures only through Christ Jesus, who was reconciled. Well, it was through Christ that we were reconciled to the Father. And as we are reconciled to the Father, then he gives us a ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry. There's second gear. We're already in second gear. Okay. Second gear says, if you are a new creation, then you are given a ministry of reconciliation. All right? You can't skip gears. Anybody that misses a gear knows they lose the race. Right? And you can always tell because the guy that you're racing against suddenly lurches past you or whatever. You missed a gear. Or you blew a gear. That's always the worst. That doesn't sound good at all when you blow a gear. Yeah, no. And doesn't feel good either because suddenly your wallet's empty. You either blew a clutch or you literally chewed up a gear. One or the other. All right. Or a drive shaft. All right. So here you are. You're in second gear. You are given a ministry of reconciliation. Now we're going to go to third gear. Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Oh, wow. Whew, what a relief. Wouldn't it be nice if we could stay in third gear? Our sins are not counted against us. Do you feel like a sinner this morning? Have you ever sinned at all this week? How about this morning? I hope you didn't this morning. This is Sabbath. I hope you were a saint the minute you woke up, before you got that cup of coffee. I hope you were acting like a sweetheart. All right? But your sins, or sin, plural, singular, whatever, are not counted against you. Why? Because Christ reconciled us to the Father. And He doesn't count our sins against us. Wow, wouldn't it be nice? Let's just stay in third gear, but you can't. All right? Fourth gear is the next gear. Therefore, when you hear a therefore, Paul is always summarizing, or he's coming to the next thought. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. Oh, he's going back to that idea that you're given a ministry of reconciliation. And what is that ministry of reconciliation? Well, let's go on. So now you've become ambassadors. Fourth gear. Some of us want to stay in second gear, but that's not mature Christianity. All right? We can all sit around and we can sing kumbaya and hold hands and feel good about being Christians, but that's not mature Christianity. Paul's trying to nudge the church onto healthy Christianity, onto mature Christianity. All right? And being a mature Christian then means that you become an ambassador of Christ. You like that? That's fourth gear. And so as we become ambassadors of Christ, we then begin to represent the kingdom of heaven. We become representatives. We become ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. All right? And then Paul says, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin. Oh, that must be us, right? We don't have any sins, do we? I mean, aren't we kind of trying to do that? We're trying to live without sin, aren't we? I know some people think they are. Some people actually say they're living without sin. Just talk to them. Be nice to them. They're self-deluded. Yeah, you don't want to open the closet door when somebody says that, because then in behind the closet door, there's always something. But anyways, God made himself who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, who's he talking about? Who's this him, in him? Who's the in him? We're back to Christ, aren't we? Reconciling the world to God. So in him, so it's in him, you're in Christ, you're a new creation. In him, Christ Jesus, we might become what? Perfect and sinless? Doesn't say that, does it? We might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Have you ever felt like a righteous person? How many times in your life have you felt righteous? Now, those of you that grew up in the same era I did, that righteous just meant cool. And there was even a band called The Righteous something. Righteous Brothers? I don't remember. Anyways, there was a band, I remember it. Okay. Righteous, we thought once it lost its spiritual meaning, it went on to mean, hey, you're just groovy. You're cool. Today they say bad. Man, that's bad. And they don't mean it's bad, bad. It just means it's cool. I don't know. Words get twisted and turned so many ways. It's hard to keep up because there's always something new. Every generation has their own language. But the righteousness, this is talking about God's holiness. This is talking about God's righteousness, His glory, His holiness, who God is. God is righteous. He is the only righteous one. But we, by losing the old self and taking what God has offered us through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. And we take on the righteousness of God. Wow, that's fifth gear. Now, I know some of you have cars that have six gears. And, you know, I had a car a few years ago I bought, and it didn't have an indicator on the knob how many gears it had. And so I'm driving along, you know, just having a great time. It had a lot of power, a Sentra R model, and Nissan Sentra. A Nismo model. Some of you might remember it. And my son goes, Dad, why do you keep driving in fifth gear? And I go, because it's got five gears. He goes, Dad, and he pulls out the manual and he goes through. He goes, Dad, this one has six gears. No kidding. I'm driving the thing for several months in fifth gear and I'm thinking, this thing's got lots of power, man. I'm going along at, you know, I won't tell you how fast I'm going, but I got a ticket. I'm going along and I step on it and the thing just burns rubber. And I'm going, wow, this is incredible. I've never had a 5-speed car that could burn on the freeway at X amount of miles per hour. And then my son goes, Dad, there's a sixth gear. Here, it's like this. And he jams it. He put the clutch in and he jams it into sixth. And like, woo, oh, okay. You see? But here we have progression, steps in progression, our calling, our ministry. Our ministry is to reconcile the world to God. You are a minister of reconciliation. All right? But I'd rather stay in third gear. Well, I can assure you that if you're going to stay in third gear, everybody's going to be flying right past you at our drag strip. Unless you only have 3 gears, which is pretty rare. I don't know, some of the automatic dragsters, they have this thing that they go through the gears. I don't know, maybe they have 3 gears. But the point being that God wants us to be mature ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to stay stuck in third gear, okay? As mature Christians, we're called to move on, to move forward, to move on and become ambassadors, to become those who represent God's kingdom, who represent God's grace. So, that's a summary. Woo! Got to move fast to get on to the sermon for today. All right, so here we are. We're talking about rivers of love, rivers of love. And we think about the ultimate river of love. The ultimate river of love flows from the foot of the cross. It is the God's love for this world that he sent his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means everybody, every color, every nation, every tongue, whosoever believes, there's your key word, whosoever has faith, whosoever trusts God shall have eternal life. All right? That crosses every cultural, every denominational, every race, every political leaning, everything. It crosses right across there. Because whosoever is everybody, right? Isn't that right? You all have a chance to be the whosoever. Doesn't matter what your background is, and doesn't matter how deep you feel you're stuck in the mire of this world and sin. You, if you believe and you trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have eternal life. You can accept it or reject it. God doesn't twist your arm. He doesn't smack you over the head. He doesn't force you. He doesn't torture you. He says, here it is. It's a gift. Receive it. Rivers. Rivers of love. You know, I just wrote down from the top of my head a list of things here, and you tell me where I'm going with this. There's the Ganges, the Yangtze, the Danube, the Mississippi, the Nile, the Han, the Colorado, the Tuaran. There's the Panama Canal. What am I describing? What do those words mean to you? Bodies of water, aren't they? They're rivers. They're flowing rivers, all of them, in different countries, many different continents. And these rivers bring incredible wealth to those countries. Not only do they provide water to water the crops that they're able to sell, but they also are avenues, they're highways where ships and boats can go up and down, and they've been doing it for thousands of years, bringing goods, commerce, politics, armies, whatever, to countries and nations. Rivers are very important. They're vital to the lifeblood of many nations, many countries, many continents. They bring trade, they bring power, they bring all of those things, wealth, commerce, and the list goes on. There is a river, a great river of life, and that river of life flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. It brings life eternal. It flows. That blood that Jesus shed on the cross flows to all the world, to anyone who will receive, anyone who will believe, anyone who will have faith and trust. It crosses, as I said before, all the barriers that man puts up, and it has in that river, it has eternal life through Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, briefly to Galatians. Just a couple books over. Galatians chapter 5. And we went, Marty read the first six verses, but you know, that's just sort of warming you up, okay? But I want to start with that last sentence in verse 6, Galatians 5, verse 6, because it rings like a bell. Every time I read it, every time I hear it, every time I think about it, it rings like a bell, and it goes over and over. The only thing that counts is faith. The only thing that counts is faith. Every time you feel like you can work your way into salvation, you've got to hear that bell ring. It says the only thing that counts is faith. All right? And what does it say? That's not the only part of the text. Is faith expressing itself through keeping the law? Some of you are going, yeah. Read your Bible. I was tricking you there. He could have said that. Paul could have said that in Galatians. You know? Because Paul bounces back and forth. Not so much in Galatians as he does maybe in Romans. But he bounces back and forth. But he always clarifies himself. And here, he is very clear that faith, okay, is expressing itself through love. It's not through denominationalism. It's not through keeping the law. It's not through having a special creedal statement or dressing right or eating right. Or it's not any of that, folks. It's not through indulgences or penances or any of that. Okay? I know that's disappointing because we do like We like lists. We love lists. We like manuals, especially those of us that like cars. Nowadays, you don't even have to have a manual. You just Google it, right, guys? If you don't know how to do something. In my day, I had to go find an old man working out of his garage and say, how do I put this clutch and flywheel and pressure plate and throw out bearing. How do I install that and make sure it's lined up perfectly? And if he was a nice old man, he would say, he would go to the back of his shop and he would dig through a pile of old tools and parts. And he would say, what car did you say you had? An Austin Healey Sprite. Oh man, I know I had one here somewhere. Dig. And finally he would come out with this section of the shaft that comes out of the transmission that he'd cut off of a tranny. Now you can buy them. But he would have this and he would say, okay, now you gotta take this tool, this metal turned piece of metal, and you have to make sure that everything lines up. So when you put the clutch plate onto the flywheel, and then you put the pressure plate over that, but first you have to put in the throw-out bearing, then you make sure, not the throw-out bearing, come on, what is it? What's it called? He's not even going to give me the name. Anyways, there's a bearing that's in the flywheel itself. And everything has to line up. If it doesn't line up, it will take you 9 hours and 24 seconds to put that transmission in. Or even worse. The what? A pilot bearing. See, I knew it would come eventually. Pilot bearing. There's a man that's put the transmission in himself before. He knows exactly what a pilot bearing is. And if you don't have the pilot bearing, you're really in trouble. But everything has to line up perfectly. If it's off just even a few centimeters or even just a little bit, it will take you forever to match the tranny and engine up together. But if you have it lined up good, it just clicks right in there. And you know what when it does? Because then everything lines up, you put the bolts in, you're done. That's a good feeling. Especially if you've been wrestling with it for days. Until somebody said, you know what, you really need the tool to line those up. And then it takes you about 15 minutes to line it up and it's done. Alright? You see, when it comes to our relationship with God, we can think that we have everything all done perfectly. We can listen to all the counsel and the guidelines that our friends or whoever wants to give us. But if we're not following the Word of God and its promises, and we're not lining our lives up with God's Word and the Holy Spirit, and if we're not in Jesus Christ, living a life of reconciliation in the world, then life's going to be a lot more difficult. Our relationship with Christ is going to be virtually impossible. We have to go to God's Word. And we have to discover what we need. And what we need is, what does it say? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. Wow. So love is important? I thought love was just something that you showed towards that special person that you bought the $9,000 ring for. I thought that's what love was. Or it's that favorite 31 flavors ice cream, that one flavor that you like. I love that flavor. Or maybe it's a famous rock star that you just love. Or some movie star. No, folks, that's not love. Love, okay, is Jesus, is God sending His only begotten Son, for God so loved, He loved us, that regardless, He sent His Son into the world, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Not after we were all cleaned up and looking pretty. While we were still in our sin, He died for us, because God loved us. That's love. That's true love. That's the kind of love that the Bible describes for us. God's love for us. And in turn then, we are then to be ambassadors of that love. Well, in Galatians, we discovered, and also in Corinthians, that there are three main points. Personal is our personal reconciliation to God. And then the second is, remember I described them as waves. You know, when you throw a rock into a pond, there are these ripples. The second ripple is building the body of Christ. The third is our ministry of reconciliation. We're still in building the body of Christ mode. Learning to love one another. Learning to love each other. And when we get that one figured out, then it's time to spread it out to the world. Not before that, you see. Because we are in Christ, we are new creation. All right? And when we're in Christ, then we become ambassadors. And the ambassadors of God's grace. And God's grace is Jesus Christ who died on the cross. He is the face of grace. And God loved us that He gave us Jesus so that we, in turn, might become ambassadors of that love. It's not difficult, folks. It really isn't. But sometimes, you know, we're not perfect, and there's sometimes that we hurt each other. Unfortunately, we do. We hurt each other. We say things. Sometimes we don't even know it. We don't realize what we've said, but we've hurt people. All of us. And that's why, by understanding how much God loves us and what He did for us, then gives us the freedom. Freedom not to go on acting like, you know, a heathen, but freedom in Christ, all right? The text this morning said we are set free. We're set free then to go to each other in humility and ask for forgiveness and show that love that God gave you. You can spread it around and share it with others. It's the law of duplication. It's like your times tables or your addition. You know, it multiplies. The ripple effect, it multiplies. And we have that ministry of reconciling others. But first, we need to build up the body of Christ and love one another. And that's Paul talking to Galatians, the church in Galatians almost 2,000 years ago. Has humanity changed that much? Not really. No, not really. We're still human. We still make mistakes. We still sin. We still need grace. We still need forgiveness of sins. We still need to forgive one another. And we also have a world that's dying to know Jesus. They really are. Father, we thank you for your counsel through the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia, also in Corinth. And we know that we're just the same. We're no different. Teach us, Lord, how to be ambassadors of your grace and your love for this, for each other and then for the world. Thank you for dying for us on the cross so that we could have eternal life. We ask these things in your most precious and holy name. Amen.